Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For the Love of Food, SaverLife.com, and a cold night last night is a reminder that fall is coming officially in another week or so, but a cool forecast, not freezing, no frost in the forecast, but definitely cooler weather, more October-like weather, which will definitely end the sweet corn season here shortly. I asked at Gentles Farm Market a few days ago how much longer, and they said maybe 10 days at that point, so that's probably less than a week right now. And I didn't check with Powers or Sunscape Farms or some of the other sweet corn producers, but there's not many days left. So if you enjoy sweet corn, I would stock up on it. And if you get some really good sweet corn, you might consider calling them back and saying, you know, could you set aside a few dozen ears for me so I can freeze some for the winter? Easy to freeze. And as I've said before, I kind of follow the recommendations of Mark Cupolo and his Rochester Public Market cookbook. The first edition had his recipe for sweet corn chowder. And you slice the kernels off the cob, and then you boil the cobs, again, without the kernels, for like half an hour and basically make a stock. And that becomes a base for the sweet corn chowder. And then you don't really cook the corn very much. The stuff that you've sliced off the ear before you cook the cobs, that you put in pretty close to when you serve it. So most corn chowders I've had, the corn is really cooked, and that's the key with Mark Cupolo's recipe. It's just lightly cooked and fresh and really delicious. Very simple recipe, and it is just fantastic. So the time is short. Also, been eating peaches, and that season has to be ending here soon. I don't know, maybe I've just been eating more peaches. Got started earlier with the cling peaches, some of the first ones of the season, cling to the seeds inside. But we've just been having exceptional peaches every day. I eat minimum of three peaches a day. And getting them at a variety of farm markets, from Herd Orchards to Gentles and Powers. And then, again, peach season is pretty much over. They're starting to pick apples out at Herd Orchards. And if you love peaches, grab the last ones of the season. And they're nowhere nearly as good until next summer. The peaches they sell in the grocery stores, I call them imposters in an Instagram post, because they look like peaches. They just have a fraction of the flavor and texture of our local peaches. So those seasons, sweet corn peaches, are coming to an end. We'll have a lot of peppers and tomatoes as frosts start to encroach on the area within a month or so. And you can make sauce, you can roast them. We've often done roasted red peppers. I did some roasted poblano peppers just last night. And you roast them in the pan, and then take the skin and the seeds out, and you can put them in their own juices in a mason jars, add a little olive oil if there's not enough juice, and then freeze those, again, leaving some room at the top so any expansion doesn't spill into your freezer. But we've had great success freezing roasted red peppers. They're just delicious. And again, you're taking advantage of the season, because often as those frosts arrive, the farmers do more harvesting, and they basically have no choice. They'll let them sit as long as they can, and then at some point, they're going to be dead if they don't harvest them. And so you'll see some bumper crops of tomatoes and peppers in a few weeks at the markets, not the grocery stores, but the farmers markets and farm markets. And It's fantastic local produce. It's a time when you can get it in a quantity where you can roast, 30 peppers in your oven, and your apartment is going to smell so good if you're roasting those peppers. You can get a dryer, something to dry tomatoes. They make some pretty easy machines, and not that expensive. Basically, fans that help to dry them out. You can can them. Make sure you're following modern recipes. And the Quesnel Cooperative Extension of Minot County has had a lot of classes in this over the years, and they're a great resource. But make sure you're using modern recipes for canning, modern techniques for canning. But I find freezing really is very simple. And so I started out freezing strawberries in the early summer and asparagus, and now late summer it's sweet corn, and already did some blueberries, maybe freeze some raspberries, fall raspberries, and freeze some peaches too. Again, we have about 20 peaches on our counter, and I'm eating, well, personally eating three a day. So the family will go through quite a few, but I'll probably get more if I can find them, because there isn't much time left in peach season, and it seems like it's been a really long peach season. I've got to ask some of the growers, like Herd Orchards, whether it just felt long because I did such a good job of sourcing peaches all summer, or was this an exceptionally long or bumper crop of peaches this year? But they have just been amazing. Each time I eat one, I think this is such a gift that I get to have another extraordinary peach and kind of extend the summer. It is. So I call the show For Love of Food. Just eating that peach is like a spiritual experience. Just amazing peaches. Again, that season is ending, so get out and stock up on some of these things before they end for the year. The Rochester Food Net collaboration I'm part of just posted an article about the breakfast sandwiches at Leo's Bakery. Been doing a series of breakfast sandwich reviews each month. And so last month is Leo's. Before that, Balsam Bagels. And you can check the website to read about Rubino's and Vula's and Village Bakery. We've done quite a few. And we've got a few more to go here in 2020. One of the months, actually, we made our own breakfast sandwiches on lockdown. So read about those. But also, Karen Cross Smith posted one last month in our article about the remarkable radish. And radishes are delicious. Lots of different ones. And she has some suggestions on different ways to cook with them and eat them. They are so nutritious and really add some great spice. And, you may not want to just eat whole radishes, but if you dice them or, cut them up and use them in various dishes, they can add really great flavor and, again, wonderful nutrition. And they're pretty easy to grow yourself if you want to. They, like 30 days after you plant the seeds, you can harvest radishes. It's one of the few things you could still plant this fall and get a crop of radishes. So follow it, rochesterfoodnet.com. The posts and some of the collaborators there, you can get more details. Been fun to work with them. And we also been posting quite a bit on Instagram. Just went over 1,000 followers, a few weeks ago, and check out the posts. They are seasonal. They are really a chance to have a window in what's going on around our area. I posted one on a sweet corn salsa, which had tomatillos and lime zest and a little cilantro. It was just, that was extraordinary. You got to make that sweet corn salsa at some point. And also, I was down at Minahan's in Lakeville, got some ice cream there, and they use this, they don't make their own ice cream, but they have this really, really delicious Giffords of Maine ice cream, and their mint chocolate chip had massive chips in them. And I just had a couple of chocolate chip or mint chocolate chip ice creams at various places that had, like, they called them chocolate chip, but they were like flakes of chocolate. And I don't get the chocolate flavor that much when they're these little tiny flakes, specks of chocolate that are mixed in. Those aren't chips, they're flakes, but you can't sell an ice cream that's called mint chocolate flake. So I got to say, Giffords of Maine, you can get that at Minahan's and maybe some other places too. I'm not sure, probably a few others use their ice cream. The biggest chips I've ever found, like three times bigger than most of the chips that I run into. Pittsford Farms Dairy, I think, has pretty big chips, fairly thick chocolate chips in their ice creams. But this one from Giffords of Maine at Minahan's in Lakeville, they were, I mean, one of the chips was about as big as the spoon, which I thought was pretty awesome. I love chocolate. And so check out Instagram and what Rochester Food Net has been posting. I also posted one this week on toothpaste, believe it or not, because we accidentally got some toothpaste which had an unusual flavor. Now, you know, most toothpastes are mint or maybe cinnamon, but a lot of them are mint. This one was fennel toothpaste. And it was in small print, so one of the smallest, you know, fonts on the packaging was fennel. They did have a little picture of the flower too. I'll give them credit for that, but you know, fennel is one of those kind of divisive flavors. And people either love it or they hate it, generally. I don't think there's too many people that don't care about fennel. It's a strong flavor. It's often kind of anise, which is I really don't like anise, licorice. So fennel is not one of my favorite things. And this toothpaste, used it accidentally. And, well, never again. I mean, I don't toss out usable things very often, but that did go in the trash. That was a terrible mistake. I just can't believe that there's enough people that want a fennel toothpaste that they produce one. It was Tom's of Maine that makes it. And maybe there's other ones. And maybe there's some other, there's garlic toothpaste. Who knows? But fennel toothpaste just seemed like a terrible idea. Obviously, there are enough people that want it that they're producing it. I think they wouldn't introduce it hoping to build a market and all the people that have been wanting a fennel toothpaste. I mean, you could smell the fennel in the sink, and you know, it's like is the last tasting you want in your mouth. Fennel? Crazy. I could not believe it. So anyway, funny things like that sometimes on Instagram, and of course some cool food shots. I did one a little over a week ago from Fuego Coffee. They do affogato happy hour from 3 to 5. I don't know how many days a week they do that, but you know, I think at least several days. I just happened to be there at that time. It's like $3 for the affogato, which is espresso with a scoop of ice cream. And basically, it's like a milkshake where the ice cream is not mixed in with a blender. And you can do it, which I actually many times have done this with ice cream, where I take a scoop of vanilla or mint chocolate chip or chocolate chip ice cream, and I add a little bit of coffee to it, and this sort of ups the ante with that, with a espresso and a delicious combination with ice cream. So I've been getting that a few different places, and the one they do at Fuego is really, really good. Also, Pittsford Farms Dairy. In fact, I have to admit, I went to Pittsford Farms Dairy sometime this summer, and actually, I take it back. Maybe it was last summer, and I got a affogato. So you have a cup with the ice cream in it, and then the espresso kind of poured in around the ice cream. And I set it on my seat next to me, which was a really stupid thing to do. And then I drove off, and it was fine. Again, I don't know why I put it there, but I made a one turn, and it spilled into the seat. It was such a stupid thing to do, and so I. Coffee and ice cream in the passenger seat of the car. Oh, what a mess. And I didn't really mind the mess and clean up the mess. I just wanted the coffee and the ice cream. That was the heartbreaking thing, is that I didn't have time to go back and get another one. It was just a total waste. So don't put those kinds of things on the seat of your car. And I forgot to mention in the review of Leo's Bakery, Adam Wilcox wrote about it, or sort of pulled together all the reviews of the collaborators from Rochester FoodNet, and mentions doing this chicken wing tasting a few years ago, and how it got a little overwhelming and they didn't want to have chicken wings for a while. But it also reminded me of a root beer tasting that Adam and I, and I think it may have been one or two other people, got involved in. It was one of those bizarre ideas you come up with. You start thinking, there's a lot of different root beers out there. I wonder how different they are. And so we got together. More root beer than we realized was around the area, and did this tasting at the public market. Just ourselves. It wasn't open to the public. But we had, I think, 35 root beers, which is like 30 more than you should have. I think I made it through 9 root beers, maybe not even that many. And then I just hung it up and said, I'm not going to be useful. This is just too much sugar. And I think I was spitting them out too. Like wine, you taste it, spit it out, try the next one. And there was just so much sugar in these root beers that I think I've only sampled root beer once since then. And that was like 6 or 7 years ago that we tried all these root beers. And I don't recall which was the best root beer. I don't remember which root beers there were. I just remember thinking, I don't think I'm going to ever have root beer again. So if you have a favorite root beer, don't bother sending it my way, the name of it, because I'm pretty much, that pretty much finished me for root beer for, I don't know, maybe a decade. I don't know. Until they come up with some that aren't quite as sweet, that would be, and maybe that'll be a trend that will show up at some point. And if you know of a root beer that's not as sweet, then that I might be willing to try. Well, probably we did this because some of the breweries were making local root beer, and so there were just more local products available to taste, and it was getting more interesting, at least as long as you didn't taste them all at once, all in one place. If you've had some good food recently, or seen some great produce at the markets, email me, Michael@saverlife.com. Many of the local farmers' markets, like our West Side Market, are generally open through early October. So, another month of them. Try to get to as many of these markets as you can and patronize the vendors. The Brighton Market will continue year round, I believe, but I'm not certain what's going to happen with the indoor market this year. It generally does continue, but they suspended the winter market for a time this early spring because of the coronavirus. So not sure what they're going to do. Some of the farmers markets like Gentles or farm markets, so I say like Gentles and Powers, they stay open till around Halloween. Powers, I guess maybe a little beyond that. I think Gentles closes often around Halloween and probably Sunscape Farms somewhere in that range. And so get out and get as much local produce as you can. Of course, the Rochester Public Market is open and that's open year round. But stock up on all the great things that are being grown here locally. We are in a just a fantastic area for fruits and vegetables, and we see the whether it's hurricanes hitting the Gulf Coast or the wildfires fires out in the West Coast of the United States. It makes me appreciate the weather that we have, beautiful day like today, and the option to go and pick apples and Herd Orchards has some apple picking beginning. Also, some fantastic pies, and they were just made a couple of the new one. I think it was blackberry raspberry pie that looked amazing. Some great photos of it. And they if you're looking for a specific kind of pie, I would call ahead and see, and maybe call them a day or two in advance. They are open Wednesday through Saturday at Herd Orchards, and then they also have you pick Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And again, apples have begun. That season has started. But lots of delicious baked goods in their farm market, and jams, jellies, preserves, etc. And they started their pumpkin cookies, which are always a favorite. So again, get out and visit our local farms, patronize our local farmers. I didn't want to get into today, but I want to mention a really good article in the New York Times on restaurants. It's a long one, opinion piece by a cookbook author. She wrote the cookbook Indian-ish, and it's opinion piece, How to Save Restaurants. Rebuilding the Restaurant Business Requires a New Model for Its Labor. And it's a very interesting piece and well worth going to read. And as we come out of this pandemic, and we still have a long ways to go potentially, it gives us maybe an opportunity to rethink how restaurants, are run and how we treat the labor. And I wouldn't be surprised if a number of restaurants switch to a no tipping model in within the next year or so. That's one very direct way to make sure that the staff in the kitchen is getting paid more of a living wage. But there are tons of issues and. This article, opinion piece in the New York Times, well worth reading if you enjoy restaurants, if you want to see them succeed in the long run, then this is an important piece in the New York Times, How to Save Restaurants. It starts out, it says, so when the pandemic hit America's restaurants, it was as if an anvil dropped. on a bubble. And they go into a variety of different types of restaurants, business models, partly it's businesses that are just trying to adapt and survive during this pandemic, but well written and very thoughtful article. I did see a note that New York City restaurants are, for the first time in so many months, are able to open at 25% capacity, and this is not a survivable percentage. I mean, restaurants, as I've said many times, struggle with 100% capacity to survive, but it is big news that they can open at 25% capacity, and especially as the weather changes and gets colder and outdoor dining will become less of an option. Rochester remains at 50% capacity, and that's also not survivable for the long run. Hopefully that will go up if people use masks and practice social distancing and don't do crazy things that drive up the infection rates and cause lockdowns and more restrictive regulations. So it's up to us to be careful, and that's essential if we want to keep small businesses alive and able to stay operating during this period. So check out that article in the New York Times, How to Save Restaurants, and think about, you know, some of your favorite restaurants and what they do and how they treat their staff. And one of the biggest issues, and this is especially an obvious problem during a pandemic, is health insurance. And very expensive for restaurants to offer staff turns over. Something, I think the article in the New York Times said something like a 75% turnover of staff annually in restaurants, or maybe just in the kitchens, but huge, huge turnover. And with health insurance, you know, attached to employment here in the United States, that makes people especially vulnerable. And as the article says, you know, the restaurant and fast food industry, second largest private employer in the United States, and the health insurance is just really, really expensive for restaurants to offer employees. Other parts of the world, most developed countries have health insurance that is not tied to employment, but is basically a national health insurance. And that's one of the biggest issues for restaurants. How much do they have to charge their patrons to offer health insurance for employees? And then and then the turnover creates that much more problems, because employees then lose their health insurance. So again, reading this kind of article gets you thinking about how we treat people and what we prioritize here in the United States. Restaurants are a huge component of our economy. You can email comments to me, michael@saverlife.com, and send me photos too, maybe from a farm market, maybe from some food, takeout food that you got, or a restaurant, michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, and tomorrow it's the Grapevine here at saverlife.com.